Hey, welcome to the Ad Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Kyle James, and today we'll be talking about how a company called Inboxing Engine is using AI inside of their own business. And we'll share the exact steps that you can take in order to implement AI for yourself. Now, before I dive into that, listen closely. Are you looking to implement AI inside of your own company, or maybe just struggling to get your AI to stop hallucinating? Speak to GPT Trainer. GPT Trainer literally builds out and manages your AI for you, eliminating hallucinations for good. Go to gpt-trainer.com. I promise you, it'll be the biggest time-saving decision that you've made all year. Trying to set up AI on your own is like trying to build a house from scratch. Sure, you could do it, but the time and frustration it's going to take you to get it finished, it may not be worth it. It's 1,000 times faster and safer to hire professionals. Schedule a consultation today. Once again, that's gpt-trainer.com. Today, I have with me on the show Cole Vandy, who is the founder of Inboxing Engine. Cole has been a sales and marketing expert for more than a decade, generating over $250 million for his clients. He's the host of the Suck Less podcast, and now he's on the path to replacing his entire company with one push button AI system. Hey Cole, welcome to the show. How you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah, for sure, brother. So tell us a little bit, how did Inboxing Engine, like, give us some origin story about how you found the company and like what exactly is it y'all do right now?
I'll leave out the boring stuff, but I'll fast forward into getting into business. I failed a bunch in the beginning when I was a teenager. I had 12 businesses that made absolutely no money. So I don't know if they're considered businesses or not, but I tried. Eventually figured out that my thing was copywriting. So writing advertising for different businesses. It started with a fitness trainer in Texas, and he made 50 grand in a week from this letter I wrote. I was like, I'm pretty good at this. So I went down the marketing path. I think like a lot of people in our internet marketing industry, and eventually had a copywriting agency, had 20 something writers across the world, had 20 something salespeople, zero idea what I was doing or how to manage that. This was 7 or 8 years ago now. And so that business ran away from me. I ended up shutting it down, refunding hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of contracts and working for free for a year. And then as I was rebuilding my life and figuring out what I wanted to do, I was in sales and it was just doing a sales job, making multiple six figures, doing great. And I got a call when I was golfing one day. And that call was, hey man, can you come do my email for me? It's the last piece of the puzzle for me to leave my business and really be the CEO. And I was like, sure. So I started doing email thinking this is just a little extra side money. There's no way email is going to take that much time. And then when I got into it, I realized how much data I had available to me, and it became a game. And for the next 18 months, I probably spent 10, 12 hours a day, every day, reading everything I possibly could on the internet about how to be better at email, reading all of the terms and conditions you can find from Gmail and Outlook and all the boring stuff. Like, how can I get this email into the inbox and how can I get them more money for each email that we send? And we went on to scale that email list from making about $200,000 a month into a little over $1.2 million per month over that next 18 months. And that was when I was like, maybe this is a business. And so
Yeah,
we started
that's
taking on more clients. So it's kind of the long story short of how we got to where we're at today.
Yeah. So you said something like it like, I mean, the call, out on the golf course, like what was it specifically about? 'Cause you said the data game there, and like 'cause I'm sure there's a lot of things coming to your desk at the time, but for some reason, like the email, him making that request was, okay, I am going to dive deep. Like, is that like what caused you to dive deep into that specifically versus maybe some other things that were on your desk?
Yeah, I mean, I'd gotten calls, over the years to write this webinar or do this funnel, and those were fine, like one-off projects, and there wasn't really any data like until after it was done, right? So like I build a webinar out for somebody and write the script and I write all the copy and all the stuff, and then it would be like 6 months until I know whether or not that was worthwhile. So I had no idea, right? And then there's so many other variables, like were the ads good? Were do people actually trust this guy? Did he deliver it really well on the webinar? And there's just so much more outside of my control. And then when I got the call about email, it was a good friend of mine. I'd taught inside of his company for years at this point. So we had a really good connection. I knew his business pretty well, and I knew a lot about who he was. And I was really kind of excited to take that on, and just for him, really. So I dove into email, and I thought, you know, the goal for him was really like, hey man, can you just like not mess this up? Like, just keep doing what I'm already doing. Like, ads are killing it. We're scaling ads. Just don't mess up my email stuff. Just do what I've been doing. And when I looked at it, I was like, you do so much better. Like, I just the, maybe the arrogance or maybe my experience, I'm not sure, but I was like, there's no way like a 20% open rate is like good. Like, there, like, I had no experience. I had no idea, but I was like, there's got to be a way to get this higher. And so it just became a game, and I'm incredibly competitive. And so I was just like, I'm going to get more opens, and then I'm going to get more clicks, and then I'm going to make more money. And then it was just like this never ending like cycle of like, I'm going to make this better and this better and this better and this better. And I just kept doing that over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to probe it a little bit here. Like, cause I mean, at this point, the person you're working with, your friend, like, he's just thinking, hey, just try, I just need you to maintain it. Like, I don't need you to go all-star here and hit home runs, but like, you decided to go to that next step. Like, as you started figuring things out, like, what was it that really changed from the 200K per month to over 1 million per month and reoccurring? Like, what was that? I mean, I know it's multiple things, but like, what was kind of like going through, like, wow, this is eye opening that I think a lot of people don't realize on the email space.
I think the big thing here, and this is a motto that we have inside of the company, anyone that comes in to work with us or contracts with us or helps fulfill on anything or whatever it may be. And it's the same thing we share with our clients, is we just don't believe in industry average. Like, we just don't believe in it. Industry average for an open rate across the board is between 16 and 25%. That's crazy to me, because if you're sending out great content to people that want to hear from you, more than 16% of them should be wanting to hear from you, right? Like, especially if you're paying for advertising. And so for me, it was like, well, how do I get this to 100%, which is an outrageous goal. It's absolutely outrageous, and it's not going to happen overnight. But for us, it's just like, how can we do a little bit every single day to get this number higher? And it doesn't transform overnight. For example, I just took on a client. We started a couple of months ago, and they're getting 16 to 17% open rates. And today, you know, I just sent them out the weekly report yesterday. They're getting 28% open rates now. It's like, that's a pretty big swing. It's a 33% increase in overall opens, which is great. Is it life-changing? No. Are they making hundreds of thousands of dollars and more more money? No. But it's the little bit that compounds month after month, and then quarter after quarter, year after year, and that long-term game turns into millions, if not tens of millions of extra dollars, making ad costs cheaper, and overall the customer experience better too.
Yeah, 100%. Because especially like over the, like, an email comes through, it's like, it's the first like tip of the spear in a sense, right? Like, it's going through, like, if they don't open it, there is no, like, there's nothing happens. But like, the moment they open it, that is the exposure. So if it doubles, I mean, everything else kind of in a way, right, kind of doubles as well, right? All the way down to the funnel.
That's the overall thought process. Like, if twice as many people read an email, twice as many people have the opportunity to buy. It doesn't always directly correlate like that, but the math kind of maths in that direction. Like, more people open, more people buy. It's mm-hmm. in simple terms, that's kind of how it works. And so I want to give my clients the best opportunity to reach the people that want the help from them as possible with their solution to whatever problem they're experiencing. And the best way to start with that is to get more people to see it.
Yeah, I love that. And so now you're using AI over at Inboxing Engine. Like, it's really cool what you guys are doing. Like, tell me, like, why did you decide to start using AI in the first place? And specifically, like, what types of challenges are you trying to solve with the AI within your business?
Yeah, I mean, full transparency, at first, you know, a couple of years ago, I was like, AI is just not going to be better than what we do. And realistically, it wasn't. I have a lot of friends in the industry that own very large AI companies. I have some that have multi-billion dollar AI companies, and they're very successful with AI. And that's great. And I even had them come in. I'm like, make this better than what we do it. And they'd spend months on it, and they'd come back and be like, it's not there yet. It's not there yet. It's not there yet. Today, you know, 2025, absolutely, it's getting there. Does it write better than us? No. Will it write better than humans? At some point, depending on what LLMs you're using and how you're prompting them and how you're training them and the data sets you use and everything else, maybe one day. We're pretty close to that. But what we're realizing what I realized last year is about an extra, roughly 12, 14 months ago, depending on when this comes out, right? But sometime in 2024, I just thought, I was like, I'm making decisions every single day about strategy, and it's all based off of data. If I can train some sort of AI infrastructure, tool, or combination, or agent, or whatever, how to think like I do, as far as how I interpret the data, how I tie that into the emails themselves, and it can start making decisions, well, then I no longer have to be the bottleneck of that process. Like, I can give this to more people, because we're really expensive. We charge $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month. We've had clients pay us as much as $200,000 or $300,000 for a month's worth of work, and obviously directly proportionate to how much money we're making them. But the small business owner can't afford that. The $1 million brick and mortar business can't afford that. The startup can't afford that. And so they're paying freelancers. It's like, well, if it's just this number is here, and then this decision needs to be made as a result of that number being in this range, that's something AI can definitely do. So I went down this rabbit hole of like, how can I get AI to just do everything for us? And so that's kind of where we've been on the path of transitioning all of the logic, all of the decision-making process, and all the data that we have, and tying it to everything, and just really training LLM models and building out an AI brain infrastructure has been incredibly helpful, and not being LLM specific, meaning it's very agnostic as far as, does it live on ChatGPT? Does it live on Claude? Does it live on this? Does it live on that? We're making it agnostic because some of these tools go down. Some of these tools get upgraded in different ways. Some of them become obsolete. Some of them become dominant. And so finding kind of theories and ways to kind of tape everything together, if you will, to have something that's very consistent has been kind of our goal and our path. And we're not quite there yet. I'm still training as much of these AI models as I can. But the goal is to get it to a push button system where you connect, you know, your email platform with our AI infrastructure. And at the push of a button, it will tell you exactly what went wrong, how to fix it, or what went right and how to do more of it. And even getting it to the point where it's going to actually write the emails and send it for you as well with any platform that you use, just using APIs and other connectivity.
Yeah, for sure. Well said. And I think like how much you've seen in the email space too, and you know, like, okay, I know what works, I know what doesn't work. But like the one thing that's actually having the bigger, I guess, influence for you is like, what does the data say behind it? So in this case, like the AI is being that kind of like that data analytics, email data analytics, you know, expert, and then rendering out like, hey, this is what it suggests on making those changes. And like, what have you been seeing? Like, and I know this is probably pretty granular, but like what, since like adding AI compared to what you're currently doing and to what you are now, like how have the results been, both maybe just from when you're making the changes internally, and then maybe even like relating it back to some of your clients who might see some of those impacts from the AI generated email content?
Yeah, I mean, the results are similar. They're not always the same. They're all not always worse. They're very rarely better. And I'll also preface this by saying we've sent a 500,000 emails out to people now with a 70% open rate that humans wrote, right? So like to say that we're more experienced in sending email than any LLM out there is pretty easy for us to say, right? And so for us to expect a software tool or an AI to do better than what we've been able to do based off of all of our SOPs and everything else that we've been writing over the last 5 years, it's not going to happen overnight. But the goal is, if we can produce the same result with less brain power and less human involvement, that's our real goal here. Can I produce a similar result to what we're producing without a human being actually having to be involved in that process and just a button being pushed? To us, that's a massive win. From there, once we get that baseline dialed in, then it can start improving on itself and start finding nuances that we didn't see or we haven't been able to see, and creating kind of its own algorithm inside of our kind of human manual algorithm that we've built. That's the path forward for us. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that. It's almost like I picture kind of like as it's not hitting the same results as like the humans do. It's like, I'm still taming this like as an animal here. Like it's not like I'm going to make sure I'm putting it in control and just keep training it up. But ideally it's like, if you can get it to that point where it is doing, even if it's just 5 or 10% better, that's when it's like, okay, now I can slowly kind of release a little bit on this and allow the AI to do more of the work. But until then, like, And thankfully, right, that's why you have a business model, because you are better than the AI, right? If you were, but at the same time, though, like, you are the experts. Like, that's why there's so much training that's going into the AI, the prompting, the LLMs, and all the data behind it. Like, that's what makes the AI more powerful, not just like, oh, you're good at AI, or, oh, there's a cool large language model out there that's new and it's hip. Like, if everyone can do it, then it's not special. But the fact that, like, you're bringing your expertise, that's what I think really makes it magnify even further, to where you, instead of like 100x, you can go 200, 300x with the power of AI at your hip, which is really just, it's a fascinating concept to look at that. And as we start like transitioning here, like, what, and I know there's gonna be a lot of changes during these next couple of years, Cole, but like, where do you see AI playing maybe some of the biggest role in Inboxing Engine's AI initiatives, and especially in like your operations next?
Yeah, I mean, the real reason I made this pivot, I'll just be super transparent. Like, anyone that has a service-based business right now, if you don't have a push-button AI solution in the next 6 to 12 months, you're going to be out of business, or you're going to be hurting to scale. The reason I pivoted is because I was like, there's zero reason for a human being to be writing emails and sending them from a marketing perspective. There's no reason for a human to do that at this point. The LLMs write better than most human beings do. They understand how to articulate data better than most human beings do, and it can do it faster. And so there's no need for me to do what I do anymore. And so the goal is like, okay, either you need to get to this finish line faster than anyone else, or I need to find something else to do. And so, you know, where, as far as where AI is and everything else, I think AI gives people like me, for example, an agency owner that services businesses, I think it gives me the opportunity to like unlock myself from the business and look at business as a business. Like, what's next for Inboxing Engine? It's like, okay, well, if we can get this push button AI solution done and it connects with all of the email platforms that are out there, and businesses start using it, it's great. What's next? And it's that's where I'd rather be playing in business anyways, because that's where the guys that go on to find these billion-dollar companies and grow these startups into massive international brands. That's the world that they're playing in. They're playing in the world of what's next. What else? What's 5 years from now? What does that look like? And when you're so stuck, like for me, if I'm so stuck on just like, oh, the open rates were 29% yesterday and they were 30% the day before, and I need to make this decision. If I'm so stuck in this day to day as a business owner, it's going to be incredibly hard to compete. Incredibly hard. It's going to get even harder, because all of those mundane, repetitive decisions that don't need to be made by human beings, the more I'm making those, the further behind I'm going to get. Because the people that are allowing AI to step in and replace themselves with it, those people are going to be stepping outside of their business, looking into the future and going, what's the next problem I can solve for whoever? Businesses, yeah. People, governments, countries, whatever it may be. And that's where I think real impact and real change lives. And so that's kind of the world I'm hoping to be in here in the next 6 to 12 months.
I literally picture just like a gold mine or oil right underground, or however you want to like mine. It's just like there is that cheese, or there's that gold down there, and you can definitely, it'll still be there for a little bit, but it's not going to be there forever. And it's like, if AI is here to help, like, you can help replace you, not because you're trying to like not work. I mean, you'll always be working, but how do I automate that? And then now I take my human power is, you know, superhero human power, and go, okay, where do I want to target next, and find that next gold mine and that next bit of, you know, oil to dig up and bring some fruit to the business. Cause like you said, Cole, like, it cannot be just a, like, I don't want to zoom in too far in the business. I have to in certain times, like, zoom out and go, okay, what's the big picture here? What's the next step after this next step? And then I think that's where you see a lot of longevity with a lot of companies when they build it to an empire, is because they're not just looking at one thing. They look at multiple different solutions, different avenues to figure out, okay, how can we keep bringing in the gold year after year when the gold mine runs out? We have other ones we're going to. We have other investments that we're putting into. And I think that's like the picture here that you're painting.
Yeah, absolutely. And beyond even finding the next gold mine, it's like, where's the location of that? And can I sell the shovels? Can I own the land instead of digging for that gold again? Because what I found in the evolution of entrepreneurs and business owners, they're usually really good at solving the problem. And so they go in and they solve the problem. They do it very, very, very well. And then if they're smart and they have a lot of charisma and they can make it happen, they build the team to help solve the problem. Mm. And then eventually they build the team to then find new problems to solve the next problems, right? And it's just the evolution of it. I've kind of gotten to the point where I've outgrown writing emails and analyzing data about emails. You can say hi to my cat here if anyone's watching on video.
Wait, we have a guest, a second guest on the show here. Welcome in.
Yeah, little guest appearance. And so that's really what I'm looking at. It's like, what's the bigger game I can play here? Instead of trying to run a multi-million dollar company, what does it look like? What kind of impact do I need to have on the world in order to run a $100 million a year company, $1 billion a year company, a portfolio of companies that do multiple billions of dollars? And what are those people that are already doing that thing? How do they transition from where they're at to where they are and playing that game? And some of them are just incredibly passionate about what problems they currently solve. And that's amazing. Elon Musk would be a great example of that. He has a passion for saving humanity for some reason, and I applaud him for that. But then there's other guys that are just like, I just love the game of business. I love the game of building teams. I love giving other entrepreneurs an opportunity to come in and run something, and I just give them some money and let them do it. Just depending on kind of what game you want to play and how you want to grow. And I think AI is going to substantially accelerate that process for a lot of people that want to play at that big level. And it's going to really create some space between the big guys and the people that are just trying to survive every day and just hustling and trying to make the next dollar. There's going to be a huge separation between those two groups of people. And we're going to see probably a massive change over the next 6 months.
Yeah, I love that, man. Cole, appreciate you being on the show today. It's been a solid conversation. I knew at this moment we hit record here, I'm like, this is going to be a good one. I can feel it. and as people who are listening in, where can they go to learn a little bit more about you, Cole, and then maybe a little bit more about Inboxing Engine that you'd recommend them check out?
Yeah, if you are a company doing at least $10 million a year or more, and you're curious about what we can do for you from an email perspective, inboxingengine.com is a great place to learn. We break down the entire process, what we do, how we do it. There's some testimonials from clients, so they can even tell you what we do. So feel free to check us out there. We don't take on a ton of clients at a time, but we do have a space for maybe one more client in the fourth quarter of 2025. And if you're listening to this in the future, just give it a wing. See if we're there, if we got a push button solution. And for anybody that wants to follow me, you can follow me on social media, Cole Vandy, V-A-N-D-E-E. And I'm on all the platforms there. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, that would be cool too. I'm learning that that's a pretty cool place to hang out and be. So I'm getting a lot more active and posting a little bit more content there too.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks so much, Cole. It's great having you on the show. Definitely keep in touch, brother. We'll hopefully see you on the next one in the future.
Awesome. Thanks, Kyle. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Remember, for those who are looking into implementing AI, please don't try and do it yourself. The time and stress that AI could cause, it may not be worth it. Schedule a call with GPT Trainer and let them build out and manage your AI for you. Once again, that's GPT-trainer.com. Signing off for now. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and looking forward to seeing everyone on the next episode of AI Chronicles.